Hopefully you've all had a chance to have a little chat to the people next to you and find out how you're all involved in 0-5 ministry. I think before we do anything else, we'll start in prayer, if that's okay. Oh, Lord God, I thank you that you are here. I thank you that you are reigning. And we invite you to come to fill this seminar, Lord, that you would guide our thinking, that you would help us not to be overwhelmed, that you would help us to take in just what you need us to take in, Lord. We just long that these kids in our groups would be able to get to know you better and to be filled with that certain hope that would last eternally in their lives. Lord, would you make this a blessed time together? Yeah, make it fruitful in your name. Amen.
Amen. So, welcome to our seminar on teaching the Bible to under fives. We're going to just start by introducing ourselves and then we'll kick off with the seminar. So, I think I might even shut this door as well, just because it's a bit loud. So, my name is Els and I'm involved in under fives in lots of different areas of my life. Two of the three of my children are under five at the moment, and then I help to run the community baby and toddler group at our church, and then also run a monthly kind of family prayer meeting, which is like a normal prayer meeting but with kids involved, mainly under fives. It's very chaotic.
My name's Sarah Trick and I am mum of three boys, one of whom still fits into this age bracket just, and for about 12 years I've been helping with our Little Elms toddler group, and we've seen that grow and grow and grow. I also lead the 3-5 team in our church. Kind of on the side, coming out of all of this, I've ended up writing some children's stories based on Bible stories. So just working with an illustrator at the moment on that.
Yeah. So what is this seminar going to cover? We have two things that we'd love. First of all, to inspire you and also to empower you in teaching the Bibles to the under fives. And we've got 40 minutes and we want to cover a lot in that time. So it's going to need to go quite fast. But we've been praying, and that's our real prayer, that we'd kind of all go back to our home churches wanting to make a bit more of a difference, small or big, in kind of whatever setting we're in. So to give a disclaimer before we get going, is that Sarah and I have had experience in this, and this is our kind of, based on our experience, the highs and the lows and the love for this ministry area, but some of you will have had more experience or more kind of formal training in this, and so we're going to have a Q&A time and a groups, kind of a practical group session that we do towards the end. So we'd love for you to share your any thoughts or things in that time. So we're not saying that we are the experts in any way. So what's our plan for the seminar? Start with the background. Then we're going to go through a toolbox. We're then going to do a worked example, and we're each going to have a go at that together. And then we'll finish with Q&A and prayer. So the background. Under fives are amazing. How are you involved in under fives? I guess that there's a few ways that I thought probably might cover quite a few of you. Maybe you help on a Sunday morning and the under fives groups might help out with any toddler groups, or you may be parents to under fives. We definitely have one of those here, which is great. Or you may be involved in a different way as well. And it's obvious, but the application for you of some of the things that we talk about will obviously be different depending on your setting. Even within the 0-5, you get such a big different level of understanding of what that's going to look like. One of the things that's so special about this age group is that sharing Jesus with this age group is that because they are amazing in this age group. So there's something special about under fives, which no other age groups will do. Their sense of wonder, the ability to laugh so much or do things again and again and again, and their real open-mindedness is so, so special. It seems obvious, but there are kind of two kind of biblical convictions that we wanted to touch on really briefly. Firstly, obviously the Bible is the inspired word of God. And so actually when we're reading nice Bible stories or even not so nice Bible stories, that is not just a nice story, but actually the living word of God that we're sharing with the children. And secondly, that we see children even this age being used in the Bible, which is so encouraging. Lots of stories that you'd know, for example, Samuel joining the temple when he was weaned from his mother, John the Baptist in the womb, Moses as a baby. And we also see Jesus in the Bible challenging convention by welcoming the children to him. And so in this day and age, how do we draw close to Jesus? Well, through the Bible. And how do we equip these children, even when they're tiny, to know and serve God? Using the Bible. So it's really good to remind ourselves that it's not, sometimes it can be so easy to think of the Bible time, sometimes there's just a story time, but it's actually so much more than that. And not just the babies and toddlers, but actually their parents, their carers, the adults associated with them, like the midwives, we get their names right, Shiphrah and Puah, named in Exodus 1 when the name of Pharaoh isn't named, the midwives are named, they're important. And in Isaiah 40, where it says that God, where he gathers the lambs in his arms, carries them close to his heart, and he gently leads those that have young. So both the adults associated to the children and the children are really important to God. And aside from the Bible, as you probably know, child experts agree that this age bracket is such an important time for who we are as people. So children's brains develop fast connections faster in the first 5 years than at any other time in their lives. So that's when foundations are laid. So it's so amazing to be able to be part of these children's lives when these foundations are being laid, which will make differences for the rest of their lives. So it's a real honour. So they are amazing, we know that, but how do we teach them the Bible? The challenge, yes. So it's a challenge probably that I think all of us will know, that it's kind of, we want to get, in whatever way we're involved in naught to fives, trying to move that from not just from kind of the things, in the naught to fives where it can be tempting to just be looking after children, but actually thinking bigger than that. How are we going to make this a place where the children are hearing truth being told? How are we supporting families? How are we planting seeds, building all those foundations, and being spirit-filled and frontline groups? It feels like a big thing. So I'd like you to just talk to the person next to you for a minute and ask them, what do you find a challenge in teaching the Bible to under us? So yeah, just a minute. Anything that comes to the top of your mind. Okay, do you want to draw your conversations to a close? Some of the things that Sarah and I had come up with is that it can feel pretty daunting to covering these stories from the Bible. Is it even relevant to them? We can think, should we wait till they're older when they can understand a bit more, or they can sit down for a bit longer? The attention span is tiny. Do the adults that you maybe have with you, do they even want to hear it? Is it a place actually for just kind of looking after children, more of as a babysitting service perhaps, that sometimes it can be seen as, or just getting children used to church as opposed to them actually encountering God? And is the rest of the team that you're working with, are they on board with this, or are they doing something else? So instead of getting bogged down by all the challenges and every questions, we want to focus on the potential that this can be in terms of when we faithfully teach the truth. So, Sarah, over to you.
Yeah, before I start waffling on, I'm just really curious to find out a bit more about you guys. Put your hand up if you do help teach naught to fives in a setting. And are there many of you who do a sort of group like We Lead, which is meant for people to become a toddler group? Do you bring a bit of Bible into that as well?
Story time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. But only one of you. Anyone else do that in your churches?
Just started okay. Going to a thing called Truth Be Told.
Ah, okay. Right.
Mixing a few children with elderly people.
Oh, yeah. That's something we thought about.
Gemma.
Yes.
Set up by Gemma.
Oh, amazing. That's what you do too. Oh. Awesome. Yeah, that's really interesting. I hear stories so often of churches running toddler groups where they just haven't quite got the confidence or can't quite work out how to bring that Bible story in. It's something that we have grappled with over many years and we've stuck at it. And we tend to do kind of alternate weeks. One week will be a kind of Bible story or a God-related story. The next week will just be some random book that the kids love. And Elle's introduced the kind of blessing song at the end a few years ago, which has worked brilliantly. Yeah, that's really good to hear some of your experiences. So we have definitely over the years, through trial and error, worked out some things that work well and some things not so much. And I'm guessing that's been your experience too. And I'm guessing also if you have been kind of navigating the world of children's 0-5 resources, you've found some that are just brilliant and some less so. We've bought a whole load to kind of that you can look at the back. It's something that we are constantly trying to find good Bible stories with really simple words. So often the stuff that's published seems to be aimed at the kind of like 4-5 and you just lose the little ones. Yeah, something that I'm really challenged with as well, with leading the 3-5s in our group at church. I think over the years, we've hopefully come up with a few kind of winning principles to make our Bible times in our groups a really kind of lively, fruitful opportunity. And certainly Els and I have really fought for this in our groups, to keep the Bible teaching absolutely central, to not just give up on it and seeing it as, you know, babysitting time. So what I'd like to do is share with you a few of these principles that we've come to kind of use as kind of cornerstones, I suppose, in the groups that we run. And we're going to move on to a sort of toolbox style part to the session where we look at those five principles and think about them in a good bit of detail. And I suppose I see this almost like as a bit of an MOT. I do this myself with the group that I run, just kind of going over, okay, am I meeting this? Am I meeting this? Am I meeting this? And just checking, are we slipping a bit into something that's not quite everything that I'm hoping it can be in God? So the five areas, pop the next one on. Oh. Well, that's the first one. That's right. I guess we haven't got them on all five slides. That's cool. Yeah. That's all right. Oh, there we go. There. Yes. Okay, so yeah, the first area is particularly about how you make the choices about what stories you're choosing. And I think that's based on whether or not you have a vision for your group, a clear vision, and what that vision is. I found it quite helpful to actually write myself a vision statement for my group. So I'm then making sure that all my choices about what Bible stories we study or what material we use all meet that same vision. The next one we're going to look at is how are we going to make it engaging to 0-5s? Obviously, that's a biggie and probably something that you are very experienced at. The next one is how can we make it accessible to their very basic level of understanding? So often, like I said, the material will have words in that unless you've really thought through, like who was it who was saying earlier, Robin, I think, about the word sheep. Do the children actually understand what a sheep is? With the writing of Bible stories I'm doing at the moment, I have to keep checking myself. And if I'm writing to an unchurched audience, do they even know what the word pray means? If I say God, we'll need to explain who God is. And, you know, just making sure that we are pitching it just right to make it accessible to them so that they can meet with God. This next one, the fourth one, is something that I've recently been really challenged on, and I'm certainly not a pro at this, but I've been really moved to realise that this opportunity with 0 to 5s. It's possibly the best opportunity we're going to get to partner with the families. So many of the other groups, when the kids are older, it's very much like the teacher and child relationship. Whereas at this point, you have this chance, particularly in the toddler group where the parents are there as well, or maybe you can send stuff home with the children and their grown-ups can build on what they've learned. And it's just kind of occurred to me that I'm missing like half of this opportunity when I don't send something really well thought through home with the children that then their grown-ups can work on and develop. And I could actually be supporting those families to build kind of relationship with their children that then can go on in, you know, as they grow up. It's, yeah, I'm working on that one. And the last one that I want to talk about a little bit is how can we ensure that over the subsequent weeks in our curriculum, that we are building an accurate picture of the gospel and not a gospel of behavioralism. I will flesh that out a bit later on. I mean, there's some big, big topics there, but lots to think about. So if we go on to the first question. That's all right. Yeah, so just hands up. How many of you have thought through a kind of vision statement for your group? Do you think you've got that clear in your head? Why are you doing what you're doing? I think it's really, really helpful. One of our pastors challenged us to do this recently, and I found it a really, really helpful exercise. So for us, I think it came down to, for the Little Elms type stuff, we're introducing children and their grown-ups to God and Jesus and his love for them. It's just about, you know, them being able to catch a glimpse of God, maybe through us, through the way we act, maybe through the Bible stories. Whereas with the 0 to 5s at church group that I do, I think the vision is slightly different. So with that, I've said partnering with families to help their children to get to know God or Jesus and to see the difference that he can make in their lives or in our lives. I found it so helpful to identify this and then to look at my curriculum and look at my choices of, okay, which Bible stories am I picking to bring and do they meet that aim? Or am I just sort of supplying them with information? Yeah, so I challenge you to maybe spend a little bit of time thinking about that in your groups if you get the opportunity. Moving on, how are we keeping preschool minds engaged when teaching the Bible? The obvious one, we have so little time, don't we? It's short and to the point. And Matt, who is one of the people in my team, will tell you that my biggest problem is that I quite often will waffle too long. You'd never guess I'd do that, would you? Yeah, but it's so important, isn't it? Their attention span is tiny. Did you want to add a little bit on that?
I think probably choice of which, you know, stories that you're reading from the Bible, you know, picking the right ones can make such a big difference. And keeping it, you know, nice and short, even working out kind of, even if you end up reading it twice, but or just reading a verse out or something and reading it twice and something instead of losing attention 2 pages into the book or something. And I think also not being discouraged when we think it's all gone terribly because everyone's stood up and has wandered around and that's it. Should we all just give up? Was it pointless? Because no, actually, God knows exactly what these children are like. And so we know that bringing the Bible to them is good for them. And so sometimes when they're still wandering around, they are still listening and sometimes they're not. But actually, it's good to not get discouraged when we see these kind of outward signs. Absolutely. And I also think doing a variety of activities, including songs, is so powerful for children. The Bible verse songs, which like Slugs and Bugs or Seeds, Family Worship, are amazing, where they've kind of put verses to music. And children love to sing, and these are all to, you know, catchy tunes. And children, and so if you can find a verse that links with the story that you're doing, that is so good, because children, they maybe haven't listened to the story, but they'll love singing that song. And as they sing truth over and over again, that is there's something really powerful about that.
And for some children, that will just be their way of learning. I think we need to take into account that, like Robin was saying earlier, each child is different, and one child's way of learning is going to be to sing and sing, and a whole load of them will be like, no, we're not joining in with that. But they might like the game where you run around like a crazy thing, shouting out a particular verse at the top of your voice and banging on a drum, you know, or they might like the craft activity. And I think it's so important to have that range, isn't it? All those different things, but that are all focused on that one same clear point. So we are not overdoing their little brains with multiple points and, you know, multiple things that you could get out of that verse. But if they can go away with that one key teaching point, but you've come at it from loads of different angles so that they can relate. Yeah, the other thing I wanted to add into this is particularly, I think Robin covered it quite well, modelling through our own enthusiasm and joy in the way we tell the stories, and actually finding an opportunity to say, oh yeah, it's like that for me, or and drop in a little anecdote or something. They relate so well often, I think, to when you can make it a bit more personal, and they can see a hint of you in it, and you're not just reading quite cold from a book.
Yeah. Oh, and something I just remembered I wanted to add into this, that play is so important in this. Children learn through play, particularly in this age group. So even being silly with a story, or getting to, you know, any kind of play, which they might think is just a game, but actually can be teaching them a truth about the Bible, is like, that's amazing. Like, I'm thinking about a family prayer thing that we did, which was about seeds and that growth. And so we had like seed bombs, and we were just going around and we were throwing them all over our local area and watering them. And they thought it was just play, throwing seeds in the ground, but they talked about it afterwards. And there's something very, that kind of play that then becomes something that helps them to learn.
And they got that clear point. Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. And it just has to be said on the back of that one, before we move on, snacks can't be rated highly enough, can they, basically, in Bible time. I'm sure we all know that. But you can't miss that off the list. It's too important. Yeah, busy hands can get their minds going, definitely. There are quite a few minutes. Yeah, so on to the next thing. How can we teach what are adult stories and concepts appropriately for this age group? I think being selective is absolutely crucial. There's definitely some stories that with 0 to 5s, I just wouldn't go there at all. I'm still working out if I'm up for doing Noah. So far, I've just been like, I can't quite work out how to do Noah without getting into full-on judgment. And I think there are certain stories that are just perfect for this age group. Their brains can hook in, and it's something relatable. You had a thought, didn't you?
I think kind of it's a little bit like what Robin was talking about, but I think probably Sarah and I would both say that when we're thinking about doing a Bible story, even if you're just going to read it from a toddler Bible in the end, and sometimes that is the right way to do it, but it's kind of reading the one in your adult Bible, reading that story so you really know the story, and then boiling it down to a really simple message and keep on going until you, and it's kind of a bit like if you were preparing an adult preacher, you'd be reading the passage and working out what the key points are. And even if you're doing older kids' work, you'd do that. But it's kind of like even trickier, because you just have to make it simpler and simpler and simpler till it's just like a line that you think, yes, this is the one line that I'm going to share. And it's a tricky task. And sometimes it's thinking about, how does this even fit, kind of bring in Jesus to this? How does this work? But it's so worth doing that. And that is, we've found very helpful, kind of sometimes sharing that at the beginning and at the end of when you're actually sharing the Bible story, to kind of understand this is how this relates, because sometimes that can be
starting with the clear point, having the story and coming back to the clear point and kind of repeating it.
So
that whole thing of kind of studying the Bible passage prayerfully yourself, Robin covered that so well, and I think it's really important that when we are spending our time trying to work out what is that one clear teaching point we want to get out, that we make sure that that point is definitely something that the author intended to communicate, you know, not something we have added in, but also it's something that feeds back into our kind of vision and our aim for that group. We're not kind of going totally off piste with it. Yeah. We need to scoot a bit quicker, do we? Okay, that's okay. Yeah, let's go faster. So how are you partnering with or involving the children's families? I'll do this one very quickly. What are you sending home with the children which families could use to reinforce what has been learnt? Currently, I'm not sending anything home, so I'm not telling you I'm doing this well. This is a personal challenge to me. What other events could you run to build community with wider families? This is just such a great opportunity when we can get the kids along. You've done quite a few little Easter egg hunts, haven't you? And popped things in a bag that then they can take home and the parents can look at with the children. Yeah, such a great opportunity. Let's move on to the next one. Yes, the last of the five. Yeah. Where is the gospel in what you are choosing to teach from the Bible? So this is definitely something I grapple with a lot, particularly I'm using resources and I'm just questioning them, thinking, okay, here, is the message in this story, if I behave well, then I'm God's friend? It's so easy to fall into the wrong message and to miss that message of grace. I'm always looking at the resources or looking at what I've written and just checking, is the message here, we all mess up, we all need God's grace, we all need Jesus. Because actually, at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to get across. And I think if we are a little bit too quick with our grabbing of resources, we can choose something that just is like, there's a lot out there, I'm sure you all know that. That's just like, whoa, that is not the gospel. So yeah, definitely something to keep checking. And maybe you've also been tempted at times to treat your 0-5s like mini Christians, as if they have already saved. And I think we need to just check ourselves as well. When we're putting together our kind of clear teaching point, are we offering them promises of God that are actually reserved for once we've made a commitment? So I'll give you an illustration. Quite often when I make my clear teaching point that I want the little ones to go away with, I might start that point with, if I am friends with God, I do, 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 do. And I just think it's really important that we make sure we're not offering them kind of universalism, but actually we're challenging them. No, there's a choice for you to make here. There is an application here. This isn't just something that you receive because your mum and dad are a Christian, but actually this is a choice for you. Are you grief with God? Are you going to say sorry for your wrong things? I challenge you to check that is coming through in your teaching. Maybe not every single week, but over the course of your curriculum.
So we do have handouts for you all, because we thought, actually, we have lots of different notes.
Take one and pass it on. This first one is a kind of, that's our notes from the toolbox that we've put together. So they're quite thorough.
And also sometimes in thought.
Yes,
format.
In thought mode,
so,
yes.
It's quite informal as well.
It is quite informal. This next one is an example that we've put together. This is what I might use when I am putting together a session for my kids. So I might start by a summary of the passage. Then I might try and simplify it even further. A very simple summary for an unchurched 0-2-year-old. What words would I use to get that story across in the most simple terms? Then I might challenge myself, okay, is there a key verse that I could use that is understandable for this age group? Maybe I could use it in some kind of memory verse type activity or something like that. Then I want to narrow it down even further. Okay, so what is my one clear teaching point that I want them to go home with, that I want them to grasp hold of and think about the application of that to themselves? And then I would challenge myself, where is the gospel in this story passage? Where's Jesus in this? How does he relate to it? And then I start to come up with lots of activity. So I'll pass around this example one. What we've also done, have they gone around already? Or you've got them? We've got some empty ones here for you guys to have a go. You won't have much time to fill it in.
I wonder if it's something to do afterwards. But we've got some suggested ideas, you know, of one passages that you could start with. Are they one page, the toolbox ones?
Yes.
Yeah. And so, and then you get one page, three sheets is what you need to finish with. So you can then be the start of the final ones. And then maybe as they're going round, if people have any questions, I wonder if...
Yes, we do questions right now.
Yeah, if anyone has any questions.
Yes.
Yeah. It's Sunday again. Saturday evening.
Yeah.
Rather than actually prayerfully consider what is that one?
Yes, gosh.
Yeah. Actually valuing them as individuals that they
were. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, it's so hard to get to that point. Full confession from me, I took over just after COVID, and all of our curriculum had been eaten by rats and was covered in rat droppings. And yeah, it was really bad. And our team was sort of in pieces because lots of people had been involved in the church plant. And we had to start really poorly. But I think there's grace in that, isn't there? And you just do that little bit that you can, you know. And I hope by, you know, putting all of this stuff on you, it can be helpful and not make you think, oh, I've got to be doing all of these things all at once. This is like a serious long-term thing. And we just do the little next step that we can do one bit at a time. Yeah. But it is exciting. There is so much potential for this age group.